Have you ever made plans for your life, for your career, for your marriage, for your family, and that just didn't work out like you had planned? Then what do? Do you quit and give up? Do you try harder? Do you go to plan B? What did God do when things didn't work out the way he had planned? You see, God created the world. He created man in his own image. He put Adam in even a garden that he might find a way to do life with them, that they might hang out together. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden. Their descendants after them chose to follow their own selfish desires instead of following God's desires. And God said, I've had it. I'm going to wipe them all out. Except for a righteous man named Noah and his family, he sent a flood and everyone was killed. God kind of said, I'm going to start over. But after a while, several generations, even Noah's descendants still disappointed God. So God said, I think I'm going to try plan B. I don't want to change my goal of doing life with people. I'm going to try another approach. I think I'll establish a nation, a special group of people, like-minded, that are all in and sold out for me. So how did God begin? Well, if you were going to start a nation, what would you do? You'd probably start with people. You would choose a young couple, probably full of life and energy, not God. He chose an old couple, a man named Abraham, 75 years old, his wife Sarah, 65 years old. On top of that, they had no children. Wait a minute, God, how in the world do you start a nation when you have no children? All throughout this series, as we read the story, there's the lower story of where the people in the Bible live lives a lot like you and I, and then there's the upper story where we see God's plan unfold. You see, if you hear about that, 75 and 65, the lower story where we live, we would say they're old, they're past their prime, they're infertile, it's impossible. But in God's upper story, God can use anybody as long as they have faith. God is always looking for people of faith, people that he can trust to carry out his plans and his purpose. And he found such a person of faith by the name of Abraham. And what I want us to do today is to look at Abraham's faith journey and see how God took him step after step after step to build his faith. Because if you don't understand how God wants to build your faith, you'll get discouraged. You'll become resentful. You'll certainly worry, and you'll become fearful about your future. But Abraham was willing to trust God by faith, even though he didn't understand what God was up to. You see, faith is stepping up and facing an impossible situation and challenge without fear. Bible says, everything is possible for the person who has faith. So where do you begin in becoming a person of faith? Step one always begins with a dream. God always starts with a dream. Nothing happens until somebody starts dreaming. You've got to have an idea or a vision or a goal. If God's going to work in your life, he's going to give you a dream. If you have your story, turn open to page 13. Right up at the top of page 13. And let's see the dream that God gave to Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You see, at this time, Abraham was living in Haran, which was a town in Iraq near modern-day Baghdad. And what God basically said to Abraham is, I want you to leave that, and I want you to go all the way through Syria, all the way over to modern-day Jerusalem, Baghdad, all the way to Jerusalem, a distance of almost 775 miles. It would be like going either on foot or camel from Arizona all the way to Kansas. That took a lot of faith. Can you imagine traveling to a different country without a map or a GPS? Leaving your homeland, leaving your friends, leaving your family, never knowing whether you would ever see them again or not. But if God gives you a dream to do something, it's going to require faith. Because you see, if you can do it on your own, no faith is required. George Mueller said, faith begins where man's power ends. And so God's dream for Abraham put him completely out of his comfort zone. He had to decide, am I going to trust God or not? And that's right where we are with step two. You got to make a decision. You got to decide to do something about your dream, because nothing will happen until you wake up and put your faith into action. James says you must believe and not doubt. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. Well, take your story again. Let's look at the bottom of page 13. Bottom paragraph. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Cana, and they arrived there. Top of the next page. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, here's the key, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He obeyed and went. He made a decision. Faith is a verb. It's active. It's something you do. Abraham acted on God's dream for his life. You see, you can't move forward in faith and at the same time hold on to the past. You got to make a decision. You can't move forward and hang on to the past. A little boy was afraid of the dark, and his mother said, "Son, I want you to go out on the back porch and get the broom for me and bring it in." And he said, "Mom, I don't want to do that. I'm afraid of the dark." And she said, "Don't worry. Jesus is out there. He will protect you and look after you." So reluctantly, he walked back to the porch, slowly opened the door, and peered out into the darkness and said, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you please hand me the broom?" You got to admit, at least that's a start. Remember, your faith has to grow. Abraham had to leave the comforts of home. Peter had to step out of the boat. The disciples had to leave their fishing nets behind with their parents and follow Jesus. If you're going to build your faith, you got to put your dream to the test and make a decision. Am I going to act on the dream or not? Then comes step three. You're going to face a delay. There's always a time lapse before your dream becomes a reality. And God uses that waiting period to teach us to trust Him. But hang on, a delay is not God's denial. Darkness always comes before the light. Night comes before the day. Worry comes before faith. God always does the right thing, even if it takes a long time. What about Abraham? He faced a delay. Remember, he picks up his family. He doesn't know where he's going. He's trusting God. He moves 775 miles from Baghdad, all the way through Syria, down to Jerusalem. He arrives there, and then look what happens. Genesis 12:10. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. You got to be kidding. They place down the tents. They're having a good time. Pick up the tents. We're moving 300 more miles to Egypt. No doubt he probably said, "Lord, what's going on? I step out in faith, moved my family to an unknown destination. We finally arrive, we get settled, and you say, 'Sorry, you can't stay here. We got to move again.'" You see, the waiting room of life, the delays of life, often reveal what we really believe about God. I stood up first Sunday. Some of you heard me say this. The first Sunday 30 years ago when we began CCV, we met in a movie theater. And I stood up and said, "I believe someday God is going to have our church have 80 acres of land." It was shortly the next day that they committed me to a mental institution for further testing. For 16 years, we met in six different locations. We did portable church, setting up and tearing down week after week. It took 16 years for God to answer that prayer. And we've had to learn every step of the way to trust Him. The psalm says, "Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord." Would you circle the word "wait"? I don't know about you, but I wish that word wasn't in the Bible. Delay's not God's denial. See what's happening here? 10 years has passed since God promised him the dream. You're going to be the father of a great nation. 10 years have passed. Now he's 85, she's 75. Delays. Maybe your situation is bad right now. Maybe your prayers are not being answered. Maybe you've been trusting God for years to change your spouse, to save your marriage. Maybe others have given up on your addicted child. Maybe everybody thinks you're crazy for believing and hanging in there the way you do. And I want to say to you, you keep on believing, because believe is a gift of faith. And remember, just because you're facing a delay, that is not a denial that God's saying no. Here's the faith journey. Begins with a dream. You got to make a decision. Are you going to act on that dream? You're going to face some delays. I got more good news. You're going to face difficulties. Not only do you have to wait, you're going to have problems while you wait. Problems usually come in two kinds, circumstances or critics. And Abraham faced both. First was circumstance. He's got no son to fulfill God's promise. The critic was his wife. His wife got tired of waiting 25 years for God to answer her prayer. Genesis chapter 16 puts it this way. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar, so she said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children, so go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." You see, because Sarah was struggling in her faith, she decided to do her own thing. She begins to think, maybe God needs my help. Doesn't that sound familiar? When we don't trust God, when we do our plan B and we play God, it usually leads to disaster. But wait a minute. I don't want to be too critical of Sarah, because I would ask you, how many of you have waited 25 years for God to answer one of your prayers? I've never waited 25 years. I've waited for God to answer prayers, but never 25 years. You see, all of us face difficulties in this faith-growing process. And I want you to know that difficulties and struggles are a part of life. It comes to the point, are we going to trust God's plan, or are we going to move out with our own plans? Wait a minute, Pastor Don, why in the world does God allow all these problems and difficulties anyway? Because that's the only way to build our faith and our character. If things are going great, we never know what we believe and what we're made of. But when times are tough, we find out if our faith is real. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, "For a while, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These trials have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold," here's the key phrase, "may be proved genuine." To say it another way, our response to problems validates our faith. How you and I respond to problems validates our faith. Is our faith real? That's what our friends that don't go to church are watching. They're not watching us when everything's going great, but when things cave in, they're looking at us to say, okay, I want to see if what you've been telling me all along is the real deal. Stuttered Kennedy said, "Faith is not believing in spite of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of the consequences." You see, finally, the problems become so bad. The difficulties come. The situation moves from bad to worse to almost impossible. And that may be where some of you are today. You're right at stage 5, which is a dead end. At that stage, you say, "Lord, there's no way out. Lord, there is no hope." And if you're here today and you are at that stage, I want to say to you, congratulations, you're in good company. Because as you read God's story, as you read the Bible, you see many of God's heroes in the Bible came to dead ends in their faith journey. Let's go back to Abraham and Sarah. It's been 24 years since God said, "Hey, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation." 24 years of waiting, hoping, and trusting. And one day God sends a messenger, an angel. Begins to talk to Abraham in his tent. He says, "Hey, you and your wife will have a son 1 year from today." Sarah's in the other part of the tent listening, and she laughs. Well, you probably would too. After all, her husband's 99, and she said, "I'm worn out." But listen, God always gets the last laugh. Genesis 18, verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Circle that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." I want to say to you, the next time you hit a dead end and you're wondering, "Can God really answer my prayers?" please write down somewhere Genesis 18, 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Let me say it a different way. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't allow the dead ends in your life to destroy your faith. Your spouse walks out and leaves you alone to provide for the family. You face a crisis and your friends don't come through for you. You lose your job and your house goes into foreclosure. Don't allow the dead ends in your life to destroy your faith, because you could be at the very verge where God wants to do something great. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. Some of you are saying, "Whoa, that's where I am today." I'm on a dead end. I have hit rock bottom. What do you do when you respond and you hit a dead end? What do? You hang on and wait for number six, deliverance. The best response to a dead end is to live by faith and expect God to work, because sometimes in those delays and difficulties and dead ends, we jump in, play God, and we never get to see God work, and we never get to see our faith grow. Notice how God worked. If you have your story again, turn to page 17. Page 17, it says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age." Here's the key: at the very time God had promised. You see, God delivered. God did what he said he would do. He provided a supernatural answer to their faith. He did it for Abraham. He did it for Sarah. And church, he will do it for you. But here's where we struggle as Christians. Sometimes we say, "But wait a minute, Pastor, why can't I start with a dream and tomorrow experience deliverance? Why do I have to go through all of those difficult steps?" Because that's the only way God can build our character and develop our faith. But then the story takes a major turn. Isaac is now a teenager. He just got his camel driver's license. And all of a sudden, God says, "Abraham, I want to stretch your faith again." Turn in the story to page 19. And right there in the middle of page 19, we read this incredible story of faith where God takes Abraham right back through it again. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We'll worship and then we'll come back." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, he said, "Dad." "Yes, my son." "The fire and the wood are here." Next page. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Smart kid. His dad had had devotions with him, and he knew there had to be an offering provided. "Where's the lamb for the offering?" Abraham answered, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." What faith. And the two of them went on together. They reached the place God had told them about. Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do nothing. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God." "What do you mean? I moved my family 1,000 miles. I put up with all this delay for years. You didn't think I feared you then? Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. God's in the delivering business. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. We've talked, remember, in this about the lower story and the upper story. See how this all connects? Hang with me. The lower story, Abraham is going to offer his son on a hill called Moriah. The upper story, 2,000 years later, God offers his son, Jesus Christ, sacrifices his son on the hill of Jerusalem, and the hill of Jerusalem and the hill of Moriah is exactly the same hill. The lower story connects with God's upper story. Why in the world did God take Abraham on this journey again? I think he wanted to make sure that Abraham trusted him completely. You know what? Same is true for us. Are we willing to trust God when things don't make sense? Are we willing to trust God when we don't know what the future holds? Because I tell you, if your spiritual journey is like mine, my life is often filled with times of doubt and confusion. And sometimes it seems like God's ways are foolish. It seems like they're out of touch and out of date. If I'm not careful, maybe like you, we're like Sarah, we become impatient and we want to take over and play God. But you see, Abraham and Sarah passed the only test that God cares about, and that's the test of faith. Moms and dads, if we're not careful, think about it. We're really concerned that our kids have the best AIM scores. When they finish school, we want them to take the ACT test and have the best ACT scores for college scholarships or the best SAT scores. The only thing that matters to God is our faith score. Our faith score. Are we the kind of people that God can trust completely? And because Abraham and Sarah trusted God completely, the story continues. And when you and I trust God more and more and more, God will use us to continue His story. But wait a minute, what's the takeaway? What do we do with all this? I want to ask you a question. What stage are you at in your faith journey? What stage are you at in your faith journey? Now, hang with me. Don't want you to go home, check out. Got to do this. There's a blank there. Go back and look at those six steps. And would you pick one word to write down where you are in your faith journey? Maybe you'd say, hey, I've got this dream from God. I want to do great things. Or maybe you would say, you know what? I know what God wants me to do, but I got to make a decision. I got to do something. I got to get in the game. What am I going to do? Or maybe you'd say, I've made a decision to get in the game, but He hasn't answered my prayer. Man, there's delay after delay. Or you'd say, you have no idea the difficulties I've been going through once I started to trust God. Or maybe some of you would say, I've hit a dead end. My spouse says I'm through. I've hit a dead end. My boss says we're downsizing. I don't have a job for you anymore. Or maybe some of you would say, man, deliverance. I can say with assurance that God answered my prayers. Put down the word that says where you are in your faith journey. Hang with me. I got one more thing I want you to do. What changes do you and I need to make to begin to trust God more? I'm not saying trust God completely. I'm not sure I'm where Abraham is, okay? But I'm saying, what do we have to do to trust God more? What do we have to do to trust God to move to the next level? And probably for most of us, it comes in that area of what? Sharing. Because we tend to be pretty self-centered. It's all about us. Write down, what's the one change you got to make? Maybe it's to share your faith more with others. You're afraid of what they'll say. And that's why many of you are buying copies of the story and you're passing it out to your neighbors, your coworkers, kids doing this at school. I heard that in one of our elementary schools, public schools, during just a time of quiet in the school, the teacher said, you can read, just be quiet. One kid pulled out his children's story and started reading it, and all of a sudden, about half of the classroom pulled out their story and started reading the same thing. And I mean, that is incredible. Maybe for you, a way to get over that fear is just to get one of these and pass it out to a friend. Maybe for some of us, it's sharing our finances. Oh, God's given us everything, but we think it's ours, and so it's hard for us to share back with Him. Or maybe for you to make the change you need, maybe you need to start trusting God to change your marriage. Maybe you need to trust God to change your teenager, usually the second child. Maybe you need to trust God with your career. Or maybe you simply need to say, God, I've been in control of my future and it's not working out. Here I am, use me. It's up to you. And when we come to that point, we will see our faith go to the next level and you hang on for the ride. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the story, your story, and the lore story of this man and woman named Abraham and Sarah, because as we read about their ups and downs, their faith, their setbacks, their struggles, their doubt, and yet when they said, Lord, it's up to you, I guarantee you their faith went to the next level when their son was born. We acknowledge, Lord, we're at all those stages. We haven't arrived, but we want to trust you more and more. So may we, as we leave this place, decide what's the one or two things we're going to do to be people that you can depend on to take your story to others. In your name we pray. Amen.